You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, thank you for this fellowship, this gift that you've given us. Families gathering together to worship you and to learn of you, to learn how to walk with you, how to walk in you. Jesus, your prayer was that we would be one just as you and the Father are one, that we would be in you, you would be in us, and we would walk with you in a daily developing relationship where reliance upon you would come from our relationship with you, and that this would be done by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so please, Lord, bless our time together as we look at your word now. And we ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How does one walk in the Spirit? These are all really important questions, especially given the promise that we're given in Galatians 5:16. Look at it. What does it say? Paul the Apostle said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a really important promise. I mean, extremely practical promise. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it would be really important for us to find out what that means and how to do that. The New Living Translation says this, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Message paraphrase puts it like this, live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. Isn't that a poetic way of putting it? You won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, an important promise. Again, an extremely practical promise. But in order to employ this promise, to integrate this promise into our lives, we have to know how. And this thought began in my mind after a phone call with a friend a few weeks ago. My friend's name is Ivan, and Ivan was telling me about a message that he was listening to, and the pastor was declaring this promise over and over and over again throughout the message. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Ivan was waiting throughout the whole message for the pastor to tell him how. And he got to the end of the message, and the pastor never told him how. It was just a declaration. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he wanted to know how. And so I was thinking about that. And I wanted to know how. So I stood before you a few weeks ago and I said, you know what? We're going to finish the book of Genesis at the end of June. We're going to have a month of missionaries. And then in the month of August, we're going to answer the question, how do you walk in the Spirit? And I went home and I was talking to Danielle. And she said, so what are you going to say? I go, I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm kind of committed now to finding out how to walk in the Spirit. What exactly does that look like? And I just think, again, powerful, very important, very practical. There's a constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. When you surrendered your life to Jesus, you were given a new nature. And your old nature didn't go away. The Bible says that your old nature has been continually corrupted by its deceitful desires. And there is a continual battle between your old nature and the Holy Spirit who has taken residence within your heart. And it would do us well to find out how to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I think this is a common struggle. I mean, do you ever struggle with that battle between what your flesh wants and what the Spirit inside of you wants? Have you ever been tempted to feed the compulsions of selfishness? I have. I mean, just last night, we were at a wedding. And one of the family members saw on Pinterest how you can make a wall of donuts. I mean, it was like 10 feet wide and 8 feet tall with hundreds of donuts on it. And I want to know how to walk by that wall without feeding the compulsions of selfishness, right? I want to know how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And in all joking aside, I want to do that in every area of my life, with every aspect of temptation that I endure. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so, committed to answering this question, I delved into it. And surprisingly, the answer to this question is a lot more accessible than you would think. Thankfully, the answer to this question is a lot more accessible than you would think. And like the question, the answer came from another phone call with another friend. This time it was Pastor Bill Welsh from Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach, California. Pastor Bill has been a really good friend of mine for about 12 years now or so, and about 6 years ago, he started pioneering these study tours to Israel that were unlike normal study tours of Israel. Instead of cramming as many sites to see as possible within a day and then busing from site to site, he reduced the number of sites that you would see, and instead of busing from site to site, you would walk from site to site. You would actually hike the land of Israel. And Israel's not all that large. It's the size of New Jersey, and there's an extensive trail system throughout the country, and so you can literally hike from site to site, which got me to thinking of what that would be like to walk physically with Jesus. Just imagine. Imagine all the time that you would have after the things that are recorded in the scripture to process them personally with Jesus. I mean, somebody's making the fire every night. Somebody's doing the dishes every night. Somebody's packing up the camp every night. And you're walking from site to site, and you get all that time to talk to him and to ask him questions, to develop a relationship with him. I was filling out a form for the Christian school, and there was kind of a get-to-know-you form. And one of the questions at the end, actually the last question, was, what's something that you're going to say to Jesus when you see him first face to face? And I thought about it for a minute, and I, you know, guys, I'm just such an introvert. I love all y'all, but I am an introvert. And I think God has a sense of humor to make a pastor who's an introvert a pastor. But my question for Jesus was, when I thought about it and I answered, was, can we go for a walk, just you and me? Just you and me, like nobody else, just you and me. Let's just go for a walk. And to have that time personally with him. Fireside chats, delving into the details. You know, what was it like, Jesus? What were you thinking? What were you feeling, Jesus, when you flipped over those tables? What was that like? I mean, you walked in there, and I know you're sinless. But man, you made a whip of cords. You freaked them out. You drove them out of the temple. What was that like? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? What did you mean? I mean, in the depths of it, when you said a sower had some seed and there was four types of soil. What were you getting into there? I mean, just imagine how truly full of wonder, you know, wonderful it would have been to spend every single day walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus over the course of 3 years. Imagine how reliant you would become upon his power. You know, at the beginning, you're just getting to know him, and he says, come, follow me. And you're wondering what this is all about. You know, in the beginning, he says, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And you're thinking in your mind, hey, preacher, you stick to preaching, I'll stick to fishing, and everything will be fine. I mean, what do you really know about fishing? And then you see him graciously and miraculously provide for you over and over and over again, and you start to develop naturally this reliance upon him and his power in daily circumstances, in the normal, the abnormal, everything in between. Jesus will take care of it. I mean, he's right there. And I've seen his power throughout the days now, months now, weeks now, years now. He'll take care. He's got it. I mean, think of the time that they were in the boat and Jesus said, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. You know, the Sea of Galilee, when you go to Israel, you'll see it's not that big. It's kind of an odd title, the Sea of Galilee. It's 1/6 the size of Mille Lacs. And so you can sit on top of a hill and you can see the whole thing. And he says to these fishermen, these professional sailors, hey, let's just go sail across the other side of the lake. Not really a big deal. But as they're going across the lake, a storm kicks up. And there is something about this storm. There's something about this storm that these sailors, these professional fishermen, see as different than any other storm that they've ever been in. And they start to fear for their lives. They start to think, any moment now, we're going to sink and we're going to die. And so they go to find Jesus because they've started to develop this reliance upon him and his power. And where do they find Jesus? In the bottom of the boat. What's Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why? Because he's tired. But he knew that they were getting to the other side of the lake. He said, come on, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. If Jesus says we're going to only go, I'm going too fast again. Give me the sign. Slow down. If Jesus says we're going to go to the other side of the lake, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. So he goes to take a nap. And they go and wake him up, and they're screaming in his face, don't you care that we're going to die? So what does Jesus do? He stands up. He looks at the wind and the waves. And he bellows out a rebuke. Peace, be still. And instantly, the deafening storm is silent. Literally, it means stop, be muzzled. Jesus looked at this storm, and he realized there was more to this storm than just wind and waves. This was a satanic attempt to sink this ship. This was the best that Satan had to offer to sink this ship. Jesus, recognizing it, stands up and says, stop talking, be muzzled. And instantly, it's silent. And as your ears adjust to the difference in decibels, that silence itself is stunning. And then what's the next sound that you hear? You hear the sand on the bottom of the boat. And you got to the other side. And just as you let out the breath that you've been holding for way too long and kind of this nervous chuckle looking at each other going, and you breathe in again and you're like, oh, we made it. It's awesome. We're here. All of a sudden, this naked, crazy man covered in scars starts running at you. This demoniac of a man. And he's running right at you. And Jesus slowly steps in front of you and says something similar to the demonic storm that's happening in this man's heart. And right before your eyes, you see peace. You see stillness. And you see this man saved from the demonic storm that was in his life and in his heart. And so soul is transformed before your eye. Can you see how you would slowly but surely develop this full reliance upon the presence and the power and the person of Jesus? So, just imagine. Think of how practical it would be to walk with Jesus. Running out of wine at a wedding? Just watch Jesus. Running out of food with 5,000 people standing in front of you? Just watch Jesus. Called on the carpet with an impossible question from people that are trying to trap you? Just watch Jesus. Imagine again how reliant you'd become walking every day with Jesus. How practical it would be to rely upon his power. Need to pay your taxes? Go catch that fish over there. Open up its mouth. You fishing all night, you caught nothing? Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Over and over and over again, every single day, on the trail, walking with Jesus, you get to see Jesus move in miraculous ways. Can you imagine how reliant you would become upon the person and the presence and the power of Jesus as you walked with him and as you talked with him? Now, how does this have anything to do with how to walk in the Spirit? Well, there came a day about 3 years in where Jesus pulled his men aside and started talking to them about how he had to go, how his time was coming, and how he had to go back to the Father. And he could see in their eyes that they were troubled, they were scared, there was something in the pit of their stomach. They were sad, and so he spoke to that And he said, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I'm going to the Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will pick you up and I will take you to be where I am and we'll be together forever. And now I know you're worried about the meantime, right? The in-between time. The in-between the promise that I will pick you up and when I actually pick you up. Now don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I've got another promise for you. I've got another person for you. He went on to tell them, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How does one walk in the Spirit? Surprisingly and thankfully, the answer to those questions are a lot more accessible than you would think. See, just as we would naturally become reliant upon Jesus to daily, graciously, and miraculously provide for us after physically walking with him on the trail for a few years, just in that same way, Jesus wants us now, in the meantime, to have an even deeper daily reliance, an even deeper daily relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, who not only walks with us like Jesus did with his disciples, but who also lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So how do you develop a daily reliance upon the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus called our helper? Well, you do it very similarly to the way that the disciples developed a daily reliance with Jesus. They walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, and they did that daily. Walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's accessible, isn't it? I keep saying this word accessible because I think some of you, comma, like me, comma, think that in order to walk in the Spirit, you have to solve some sort of spiritual puzzle, right? You have to have the decoder ring to be smart enough and spiritual enough to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and your voice has to have a little bit of vibrato to tell everyone else that you're walking in the Spirit, or you have to be holy enough in order for this to happen. You have to not do enough things, and you have to do enough things, and that's just all do it is. It's not true. The way that you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and a daily reliance upon the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in and with the Holy Spirit is very similar to the way that the disciples would naturally develop their relationship with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, well, why did you do that? To actually say it to him. You might look a little freaky, look like you're talking to yourself, but hey, just do it. Talk to the Lord about it. I had a friend when I first got saved, he would go to Valley Fair and he would always keep the seat next to him open on the roller coasters because he wanted to experience the roller coaster with Jesus. It's a little weird, but a little awesome. You know, to be able to say, what do you think about this, Jesus? Isn't this grand? Isn't this great? To practice the presence of God. God, the Holy Spirit. You know, I think of how Peter would develop that daily reliance upon Jesus and his power and his presence. It certainly didn't come on the first day. It was developed over time. And Peter certainly didn't solve some sort of spiritual puzzle in order to be anointed enough to walk with Jesus. He certainly didn't attain a certain level of holiness to accept the invitation when Jesus said, follow me. He just came to Jesus as he was. And he daily, over the course of time, started to develop this relationship with Jesus like we would develop a relationship with anyone else. But we just start to see that this Jesus is different. Like he really is powerful. Like he really can do stuff. And now, in the meantime, the primary person of the Trinity who we interact with is the Holy Spirit. Guys, listen, don't be troubled. I'm going to help you by sending the Helper. That's his name. He is the Holy Spirit. So over the next 4 weeks, I'd like to do my best to introduce you to him, or to reintroduce you to him, or to remind you that you can have a relationship with him. He's not only with you, but he, the third member of the Trinity, is in you. He's with you right now. And if you are in Christ, he is in you right now. And he would really love to have a deep and abiding and personal and unhindered relationship with you. And like any relationship, we begin at the beginning with getting to know each other. How did you begin a relationship with your spouse? What's your name? What do you like? What's your favorite color? Now, here's what the Holy Spirit has. Omniscience. He already knows everything about you. Now it's our turn. Let's learn about him. Let's get to know him. Let's spend some time getting to know him. So this week, we're going to focus a little bit as we close on who he is. Next week, we're going to focus on what he does. The third week, we're going to focus on the gifts that he gives. And the fourth week, we're going to look at our reasonable response to all of this, to our helper called the Holy Spirit. So, week one, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, when I ask the question like that, who is the Holy Spirit? The question in itself may be enough to stir you to a new way of thinking. And don't be embarrassed if you thought of the Holy Spirit as a force or an essence or a power, some sort of nebulous thing that the God of the universe sends to help you, but that's not who he is. He is the third member of the Trinity. He is God Almighty. He has all of the attributes of deity. He has all of the attributes of the Almighty. He, the Holy Spirit, is eternal. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, and cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. He is everywhere. David said in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." He, the Holy Spirit, is omniscient. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. The announcing angel who spoke to Mary when she was wondering how all this was going to happen said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The power of God Almighty will help you." The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity with all of the attributes of deity, all of the attributes of the Almighty, including personality. Now, this right here would really do us well to pay special attention to if we want to develop a personal relationship with him. The Holy Spirit has personality. The Holy Spirit has intellect and will and emotion. Now, granted, he is often the neglected member of the Trinity. He's sometimes the forgotten member of the Trinity. And why is that? Well, the Holy Spirit likes to point to Jesus, and Jesus likes to point to the Father. But he is the primary member of the Trinity to whom we interact with here in the meantime. So we got to get to know him. If we want to develop a personal relationship with him, we have to get to know him. We must become familiar with his personality. The Holy Spirit is intelligent. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 2, it told us that he knows the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has his own will. Remember when Paul the Apostle wanted to preach the gospel in different areas? And he said, "The Holy Spirit would not allow me to go north. He wouldn't allow me to go east. He wouldn't allow me to go south. He only allowed me to go west." The Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit has emotion. This would be really important. It says several times in Scripture that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, says several times. The Holy Spirit's a person within you that can be grieved. Not a force, not an essence, not a plant. Why? Because you can't grieve a force. You can't grieve an essence, can't grieve a plant. Holy Spirit's not any of those. He's a person. He has intellect. He has will. He has emotion. So how? How do we start to do this? This is how simple it is. This is how you can begin to walk in the Spirit so that you will develop a reliance upon Him, to walk in Him so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is where it starts. It starts by saying, hi. That's where it begins. Why? The Bible says in a verse that we like to quote often, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So what does that mean? Start saving Him a seat on the roller coaster, okay? Start practicing the presence of God. Start saying hi to Him. It would do you well. If you are a Christian, He, the Almighty, the third person of the Trinity, is living in your heart. Infinite cosmic power, itty-bitty living space. And He would like to get to know you. He would like you to get to know Him. And you could develop the same exact reliance that the disciples had for Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Like, you would see Jesus towards the end of those 3 years walk towards a difficulty, and you're like, oh man, stand back, watch this. You know, in wrestling in college, there was this friend of mine who was nicknamed Spider-Man. And the reason why he was nicknamed Spider-Man is because when someone would shoot in on him and they would have a hold of his leg, he would crawl up their body and then crawl down their back and then take them down. So they nicknamed him Spider-Man. And it was a really weird experience when you would come in and see him wrestle, because when the opposing team would shoot in on him, his team would start cheering. They're like, yeah! And you're thinking, what, are they not like him or something? No, they just knew what was about to happen. They knew how good of a wrestler he was. And he knew that that guy that just shot in on him was in a lot of trouble. The same way the disciples walking with Jesus would see a difficulty and see Jesus walk towards it, and they say, well, that difficulty's in trouble. That's Jesus. And you have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus wanted you to have an even deeper reliance upon as you encounter difficulties, the same kind of confidence that God Himself, who personally loves you with His own will, intellect, and emotion, wants to handle it for you. You want to let Him? Want to practice? Want to develop that daily reliance upon Him? Just say hi to Him. I see that you're here today. It changes things. It changes things. Talk to Him. Walk with Him. Jesus said that our relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit, would be even more real, tangible, and helpful than having Him physically walking by our side. So let's begin again for some of us. Let's begin for the first time for some of us to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who loves us just as much as God the Father and Jesus Himself. The Holy Spirit, who was sent specifically to help us, to teach us, to empower us, to lead us, to direct us, to edify us, to exhort us, to comfort us, to seal us, to pray for us, to protect us, to transform us, and to walk with us in a gracious, loving, and helpful relationship. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. So, I could tell I haven't preached in a while. I got through all my notes with 10 minutes to spare. Woo! But I'm done. So we're going to pray, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to have communion. And when you're having communion, just talk to Him. And just say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. Here I am. How's it going? This is what I have on my plate today. I'd like to start this. I'd like to restart this. Just where I just develop a reliance upon you. So, Lord, here we are, and as we are, and I think of Peter when you first called him and said, come follow me. Well, all the things that were going through his heart and mind. Me? Really? You serious? Okay. Let's see how this goes. And then thinking of Peter throughout his time of walking with you. Thinking of the time when he was thinking, you know, you're a preacher and I'm a fisherman. Why don't you stick to preaching? And you showed your power, and he said to you, Lord, I am a sinful man. You'd do best to be away from me. I mean, far away from me. I felt like that before, Lord. I felt like that often. I always felt like it's dependent upon me, but it's not. It's dependent upon you. And then thinking of Peter when he just blew it, man, and just like denied you, lied about it, looked in your eyes, went out and wept, and just thought, it's over. Jesus is dead, and I can't follow him anymore. And how would he possibly send the Holy Spirit to me after what I've done? And yet, Lord, you so miraculously and graciously called him back into the game and told him to wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. And then there's Peter preaching to thousands. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, saying, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off who will believe. Well, here we are, Lord, afar off, and we believe that this promise is for us. So, Holy Spirit, hello. Sorry we've been neglecting you. I ask that you'd forgive us and that you'd begin again to walk with us. Talk to us, Lord. Help us to talk to you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Dominic Dinger. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Dominic's teaching ministry by visiting refuge.mn.